Hey everyone, this is Carlos Morales, and this is the Think About Now podcast. I wanted to do a little discussion about something that's been recently hitting the news, and it's regards to a California senator by the name of Richard Pan, who has apparently decided to finally deal with the issue of systematic child abuse by the government in his new bill called the Bill of Rights for Children. Well, he would be dealing with the issue of systematic child abuse by the government if he actually cared about the well-being of children, which is incredibly apparent that he does not. The idea of a Bill of Rights for Kids, it seems brilliant, right? So many children within the United States are regularly abused and beaten, not only by the government, but by their parents. I mean, a huge percentage of children right now are still continually being smacked. The face and the behind. It's all justified under the name of spanking, of course, but this bill, it takes that good intention that is going on in their own head that we want to make sure that kids are taken care of. And just like all other government bills, it does everything to squash any true productivity. And instead, it seems its only aspiration is to grow the state as much as it can. The bill is called SB 18. It would codify the Bill of Rights for Children and Youth in California, and it's a beautiful mixture of doublespeak and unrealistic aspirations that can allow for the infinite growth of government. The bill was introduced this month, as mentioned by Richard Pan, who's a pediatrician and state senator who sponsored the 2015 law that eliminated personal belief exemptions from state immunization requirements for children enrolled in school or daycare. People who possibly have listened to my show in the past know my viewpoints on vaccinations. It's actually quite contentious in comparison to a lot of libertarians. I don't take a negative view towards vaccines. I do take quite a negative view, though, of the government trying to enforce anything, seeing as how government enforcement of progressivist values for the well-being of human beings in the form of socialism and communism over the course of the last 120 so years has led to about 100 to 150 million deaths. So though the bill is a whopping one page, every detail is so obscure that it can allow for the creation of hundreds of government programs that will help promote the well-being of children. So I thought I'd actually quote some of the bill here, rather than just say summarize a summary, as so many other political articles are written, or podcasts for that matter. And by the way, you can find all of my sources on this, on the Think About Now article related to this. SB 18, as introduced, PAN, Bill of Rights for Children and Youth in California, states, existing law provides for the care and welfare of children and youth in various contexts, including, but not limited to, child welfare services, foster care, health care, nutrition, homelessness assistance, and education. Unquote. So I'm glad that Richard decided to start off with the government programs which already exists. I mean, he kind of just like threw it right into my hands there. So as I wrote in my book, Legally Kidnapped, the Case Against Child Protective Services, the government promotion of child welfare through foster care, health care, and education has been abysmal. For one example, foster kids are 7 to 8 times more likely to be abused than normal children. Nearly half will end up homeless. They're 3 times more likely to be put on psychotropic medications. 7 times more likely to develop an eating disorder. More likely to have post-traumatic stress disorder than veterans of war, and less likely to recover from that PTSD. More likely to become pregnant as a teenager. 20% more likely to be arrested. And are 6 times more likely to die than if they stayed in an abusive household. So if Richard wants to use the state's great track record of taking care of foster kids as an example, we've got a shit ton to be worried about. Getting back to the bill. Section 1, quote, the legislature finds and declares that all children and youth, regardless of gender, class, race, ethnicity, national origin, culture, religion, immigration status, sexual orientation, or ability, Jesus Christ, who the hell wrote this? Have inherent rights that entitle them to protection, special care, and assistance, including, but not limited to, the following. The right to parents, guardians, or caregivers who act in their best interests. the right to form healthy attachments with adults responsible for their care and well-being, unquote. By the way, I want to throw in here, the reason why they added in immigration status is so that they can take away anyone's kids, including ones that are not U.S. citizens. Don't think of this as helping out illegal immigrants. This is just a way for them to get their mitts on more children. And honestly, just this first section is incredibly ominous. Because according to, in order to ensure healthy attachment with adults, right, they place over 400,000 kids in Child Protective Services care in the United States. And a huge chunk of them are there for smoking marijuana. Or what about public education? Is that forming a healthy relationship? Stripping a child away from his parents at an incredibly young age so that they have to work tirelessly hour after hour after hour, only to have anywhere from 50 to 70% of their income whenever you adjust for things like inflation, sales tax, income tax, Social Security tax, Medicare, Medicaid. You add all those in, a good 50 to 70% of their day goes to worthless government programs instead of being able to take care of their own children because taxes are so damn high. And you've created an entire system that makes you essentially hate being a parent overall. Is that what the government means by healthy attachment with adults? Does it mean the massive amount of psychotropic medications? I'll do that in just a second here. Getting back to this bill. Number three, the right to live in a safe and healthy environment. Number four, the right to social and emotional well-being. Number five, the right to opportunities to attain optimal cognitive, physical, and social development. Oh, that's good. So I do wonder how public education has provided for emotional and social well-being of children. I like this. Psychologist Peter Gray, who's just better than me in every way, put it this way. If freedom, personal responsibility, self-initiative, honesty, integrity, and concern for others rank high in your system of values, and if they represent characteristics you would like to see in your children, then you will want to be a trustful parent. None of these can be taught by lecturing, coercion, or coaxing. They are acquired or lost through daily life experiences that reinforce or suppress them. You can help your children build these values by living them yourself and applying them in your relationships with other children. Trust promotes trustworthiness. Self-initiative and all of the traits depend on self-initiative can develop only under conditions of freedom. Unquote. School is more analogous to prison than an environment which promotes individuality, integrity, or self-guided learning. Much like in prison, those who do not fall in line are punished. And sadly, often that means feeding children psychiatric medication. I'm going to go ahead and run through some stats real quick here. And these are honestly pretty shocking. Within the United States, from the ages of 0 to 5 years old, there are 188,000 kids on ADHD medications. That's nearly 200,000, and that's just 0 to 5. You want to know what the grand total of kids who are on ADHD medication? 4.4 million children. When we get to antidepressants, 2.1 million kids on antidepressants. What about antipsychotics? 830,000 children on antipsychotic medication. And when you put it all together, all the different forms of psychiatric medications, well, they're the ages of 0 to 5, 1 million kids. Overall, grand total, 8.3 million kids right now are on drugs that can cause lifelong side effects. We're not only talking about weight gain, but weight loss, seizures, lifelong schizophrenia, depression, suicidal ideation, suicide, murder rampages, heart conditions, cancer, stroke, and worst of all, a complete numbness for the beauty and joy that is life. They prevent the development of the human brain. And 8 million kids right now are being robbed of a childhood. And the government and its wise ability thinks, we know how to take care of kids. To 100,000 kids 0 to 5 years old need antidepressants. To 8 million children need psychotropic medications. Do we want to take advice from a government that not only allows for this, but subsidizes it? Is this what the government means by opportunities to attain optimal cognitive, physical, and social development? Going back to the bill. Number 6. The right to appropriate quality education and life skills leading to self-sufficiency in adulthood. Unquote. In order not to repeat myself, I'm going to put that together with the above portion of the bill with this other portion. B. Determine the amount of revenue and resources necessary to ensure that the Bill of Rights for Children and Youth of California in its totality is applied evenly, equitably, and appropriately to all children and youth across the state. C. Identify and obtain the revenue and resources necessary to ensure that the Bill of Rights for Children and Youth of California in its totality is applied evenly, equitably, and appropriately to all children and youth across the state. Unquote. All right, let's talk about revenue funding in education. So there's this perpetual myth that goes around consistently that public schools are always underfunded, right? And it's been proven, well, disproven time and time again, that that's absolute bullshit. Direct and increase of funding has no way of helping the situation whatsoever. There's a bunch of different charts and graphs that I posted up in the Think About Now article that'll be posted with this, but essentially, there has been anywhere from a 2 to 300% increase in funding of public education's per pupil since the 1970s, even adjusted for inflation. And there is no correlation between that and positive educational results. And also, when it comes to determining the, you know, revenue and resources to cover government projects, the fucking California government is one of the least fiscally responsible states in the U.S., even though they have the highest GDP of any state in the union, while also having some of the highest taxes in the United States, they seem to remain $443 billion in debt. That's not like a small amount of money. And they get tons of it. Huge portions of my paycheck go to the California government so they can piss on it. So are we really going to look to the California government to be economically fucking responsible? No. And he shouldn't. C.S. Lewis brilliantly summarized the deep-seated issues with these well-intentioned government programs. All tyrannies, a tyranny sincerely exercised for the good of its victims, may be the most oppressive. It would be better to live under robber barons than under omnipotent moral busybodies. The robber baron's cruelty may sometimes sleep. His cupidity may at some point be satiated. But those who torment us for our own good will torment us without end, for they do so with the approval of their own conscience. We have centuries of evidence showing that governments fail to provide the necessary resources to provide for a prosperous, creative, and individualistic society because the nature of government is antithetical to every single one of those things. The only way you can actually have those is to get the hell out of the way. Though as nice sounding as the idea of a California Bill of Rights for children sounds great, it honestly could do more damage than a large fleet of angel dust writing parents on a crusade to drug kids. This is a bad idea, and anyone who tries to argue against it knows nothing of the history of the state and children. We need to stop looking for the government to solve issues. Because every single time we do, there is blood on all of our hands.